Maybe like me, you're a little bit disappointed in these Sunday's readings. Maybe like me, you know someone affected by the school shooting in Minneapolis this week. Or you have friends of friends who are terrified about the arrival of troops in our city. Maybe like me, you just turn on the TV and see children starving in Gaza and Sudan. So maybe, like me, you're not really sure how much you want to talk about wedding banquets this week or about household ethics. And yet, these are the scriptures we have today, in Hebrews and in Luke. Advice for hosting, advice for being a guest, advice for living a good and godly life. Maybe like me, your mind goes immediately to, well, so what? Why does where we sit and who we sit with matter? What really is my own behavior, my own household mattering in this world? But if I really am preaching to myself, I always remind myself that I think one of the most pervasive and often most seductive lies that the enemy tells us these days is that what I do doesn't matter, doesn't have any effect. I do think the enemy is very invested in having us think that if we can't stop the bullets from flying at CDC offices, if we can't stop the masked strangers from deporting our neighbors, if we can't stop the deaths in faraway parts of the world, then what can we do? Might as well stay home and sit on our hands. The world wants us to believe that the answer to the question, well, what can I do, is nothing. The world wants us to think the best we can do is look out for ourselves. And that answer, that nihilism, makes us insular, afraid, self-focused, and often downright mean. And the truth that the Bible tries to tell us time and again is that our lives and our actions do matter. They matter not only to us, which they do because they shape our lives and our souls and our eternal futures, but they matter to the world, to the people around us, and to those we will never meet or see. Even as we read in Hebrews 2 weeks ago, they matter to those who won't even be alive on the planet at the same time as us. Going back to Hebrews, today we have Hebrews telling us about what the author calls a mutual love, which a love that is as intimate as the love between spouses. And this mutual love, as it is practiced and as it is lived, begins to radiate outward, first to those we are in community with, and then even to strangers. This mutual love makes it possible to invite the stranger in, to invite them as a guest, to put them in an honored position. That mutual love makes it possible to share resources, to live free from the mindset of scarcity, to live a life of prayer and praise that is pleasing to God. There's also just the simple math that we are about to have more of the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind amidst us. To be fair, the downward trajectory of the working class has been going on for quite some decades in America, right? Through many different administrations led by many different political parties. But now we know that the accelerator, is going to be pushed to the floor. Anecdotally, I can tell you that we have had more requests for aid here at Emmanuel in the past few months than in a while. And again, the temptation to isolate, to insulate, to keep ourselves safe is there. It's probably greater than ever before, and you know, some of that is just natural. But again, the Bible wants to push us further. The authors of our scripture pieces today want us to know and to feel that our fate is tied up with the least of these. We are to live not just in awareness that there are people suffering in the world, but as if it was us who suffered with them, as if their suffering immediately materially matters to us, because I assure you that it does eternally, spiritually matter to us, just as how we live matters to them. Finally, and perhaps most powerfully, there is also this, that whenever we see table fellowship brought up in a lot of places in the Bible, but almost always in Luke, it's not really about manners. It's not about what fork we use or whether you push your chair in when you're done with the meal. It's really about what the kingdom of God looks like and how we are to help usher in that kingdom. This advice to guests, we hear this as people in positions of privilege with something to lose, but it's also invitation to those whom the world has put lower down to come on up. Luke again reminds us that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. This banquet is yet another illustration of the powerful reversal that characterizes the gospel that Luke has to tell us. He started talking about it way back in the first chapter when he recorded the words of the Virgin Mary way back in her Magnificat. And we sang a version of those words as the sequence hymn today, which I have to admit I did not fully pay attention to. I guess we're just in sync. That's a cleaned up version, a version that's safe for Sunday morning. But Mary's words are far more revolutionary. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, she says, who has filled the hungry with good things and sent the poor away empty. Sorry, and sent the rich away empty. Those words are what Hebrews would call a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And as I said, they are words of prophecy, words of revelation, words that tell us what God is doing and will do in our world. They're words that, if they don't sound like good news to you, should make you ask some tough questions. If you yourself aren't among the poor, it might mean the advice for hosts is what is for you today. You might need to be asking yourself, who am I inviting into my life? Am I merely dealing with people I know can benefit me or those I think I owe some kind of debt to? Has the enemy convinced me to see people only in terms of their economic worth? Or do I see them as worthy creatures just because of whose and who they are? When I think about that, when I get to those big questions, then I obviously know that this matters, that what I do day to day matters, that what we do here on Sunday and what we do in our everyday lives, that matters. It matters even in a world full of school shootings, political violence, and famine being used as a weapon of war. Maybe it matters particularly, or it matters urgently in that world. And the way we gather, who and whom we sit with, matters. Because as Jesus has told us time and again, that whenever two or three are gathered, he will be there too. Are we ready to be at that table? Are we ready to watch him as closely as the Pharisees once did? It may not be that the eyes of the world are upon us, but our eyes should be firmly fixed on God. Amen. Amen.